Thank you. I'd like to express my sincere thanks to the organizer who invited me to this very exciting meeting in Santa Barbara. And my talk today is on graphene edges. Actually, graphene edges play an important role in giving unconventional electronic magnetic properties to graphene sheets. And I have three topics there. But before that, I'd like to talk about what's a graphene from physics and chemistry and aspects. And I think that most of the people here know well about the physics aspect. Actually, the electron graphene can be described in terms of massless Dirac fermion in relativistic wave equation in bipartite lattice, which is the sublattice system having A and B, the sublattice points here. And using this equation, the electric structure of graphene is given as zero gap semiconductor with the linear, the valence, and the conduction bands as shown here. And the important point here in discussing the magnetism is the structure degree of freedom. Two, we have one, two, A and B. We have two as the structure degree of freedom. That degree of freedom is effectively converted to the spin degree of freedom. That is a pseudo spin. So we have up and down state in this Hamiltonian. So the magnetism can be involved in discussing about the electronic structure of graphene sheets. This is the understanding from physics side, but I'm in a chemistry community. So that I'd like to discuss also about the what is the graphene and edge effect from chemistry language. And this is very simple, and we have only one term, aromaticity. And the important rule is the Quarles aromatic sextet rule that is given with the aromatic sextet as the unit, the fundamental unit here. And the problem is how we can place aromatic sextet in the molecule of the graphene sheets. And in the case of graphene, we can put the aromatic sextet in every three hexagon rings, so that aromaticity here is 1/3. This is the reason why the graphene is chemically so active. Okay, so we have two languages in discussing the electronic structure of graphene sheets. My point is the graphene edges. When we cut the graphene sheets, we have two specific directions. One is armchair direction like this one, and the other one is zigzag direction. By cutting a graphene sheet and terminating the carbon atoms by hydrogen, we can create two kinds of graphene edges. That are the zigzag and armchair edges. The structure of these edges and also the electronic structure are similar to those we have in trans and cis polyacetylene molecules. So we have a similar physics and chemistry between the two the molecular systems. And when we have edges, created edges modify the structure seriously in two manners, depending on the edge shape. We have actually the zigzag and armchair edges. Around the armchair edge, we have the electron wave interference in a scattering process at the edges that appears in the phenomena of the super lattice pattern in STM and also Raman G band at 1600 wave number. And the other important issue is the edge states. We have the creation of a local non-bonding pi state at the zigzag edge. So these are very important fundamental issues in discussing the electronic structure of the graphene edges. So I have three topics in my talk. First one is edge state at the zigzag edge and magnetic structure of edge state spins here. And the second topic is electron wave interference at armature edges. And the last one is nanofabrication. We employ the graphene oxide, and we can easily cut the graphene oxide or graphene sheet using AFM tip for nanofabrications. So the first topic, and I have two issues. One is the spin points, edge states from a theoretical and experimental viewpoints. And then what's the difference in the magnetic structure between the edge state of a pi electron origin and the sigma dangling bonds? I'd like to compare the electronic magnetic structure of the graphene that is pi system and the fluorinated nanographene having pi and sigma the spins here. So what's the edge states? This is a physics understanding, and I compare the two edges here. In the armature edge, A and B, the sublattices are always paired, so there's no magnetic degree of freedom. But in contrast to the armature edge, only one of the sublattices, A or B, exists in a zigzag edge like this one, so that we have a localized magnetic moment that is a consequence of broken symmetry of a pseudospin in Dirac filament. This is the physics understanding, but we can also discuss based on the chemistry. And that is given here. This is the chemistry aspect. We have a Crouse aromatic sextet. The most stable structure of aromatic molecule are those having a maximum number of sextets separated by anti-empty rings. This is the fundamental unit, benzene ring with the carbon atoms single bonded to the surrounding, that is a sextet. And using this rule, we can have two subfamilies in aromatic molecules. One is armature-shaped molecules, that is aromatic Kekulé molecules. You can see the armature edge and armature edge. In these molecules, we have large number of sextets, actually 1, 2, 3, 7 sextets. So these molecules are well stabilized, very stable molecules. But in contrast to this, we have a non-Kekulé molecule having a zigzag edges. I'd like to show two examples. The triangle-shaped molecules, linear molecule called the acene. In this molecule, we have a small number of sextets, like this one, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4, 4. The triangle molecules having a 3, 6, 10 hexagonal rings, so that these molecules are very unstable. And similar situation happens also in linear molecule. In this case, we have the sextet here. And in a case of a triangular molecule, using radical representation, we have 1, 2, 3 the unpaired electrons. So these are magnetic molecules. And we have Hund rule, so that we have spin half unity and 3/2 spin state. This is a ferromagnetic state. In a case of linear molecules, we have antipyramid arrangement like this one, so that this is open shell single state. In other words, this antiferromagnetic molecules. Okay, and the important point here is the distribution of a local density of state of edge states. You can see the triangular molecule. In this case, we have large local density of states of the non-bonded pi state. This is the reason why this state is called edge states. And from experimental viewpoint, it's very difficult to observe, but the edge state, the edge region will oxidize, so we have the quite large number of the oxygen containing functional groups. So that to observe the edge states, we have to make an edge state clean. I mean, the edge have to be well defined. For doing this, we treat the sample in ultra-high vacuum condition, and all the carbon atoms are terminated by hydrogen molecule here, and then observe STM and STS spectrum. And this is one example. And you can see a clear armature edge as shown here. An armature edge is long and continuous. The reason is that the armature edge is energetically stable, or in other words, the armature edge is aromatic. And this is the density of state as functional energy. You can see a linear pi and pi star states, and the two Dirac cones appear like this one. in contrast to the armchair edge, the zigzag edge is very different. And zigzag edge is short and defective in general. And I mean, zigzag edge is energetically unstable. Or in other words, from chemistry language, this is less aromatic. And you can see a bright spot that assigned to the edge state and the zigzag edge regions. We frequently observe the shorter zigzag edge embedded between armchair edge regions here. And the density of state peak at the Dirac point is assigned to the edge state. You can see the comparison with the theory. This is the theory, theoretical results by Fujita, and between the pi and pi star states, we have the sharp local density of state peak for the flat band of the edge states. This corresponds to the peak here. And the important point here is the how the edge state is different from the defixed spins. Okay, so that I like to compare the two kinds of the spins. One is edge state of pyroxene origin, that is topological origin from pseudo spin in Dirac filament. The other one is a sigma dangling bond, defective origin in sp3 backbone. We have to clarify what the difference, so that we fluorinated the nanographing sheets and then investigated the magnetic and electric features of these kind of spins. And this is just the fluorination process. Fluorination process is a two-step process here in a nanographing sheet. Actually, the edge carbon atoms are so chemically active in a fast process, the fluorine attack to the edge carbon atoms. After the edge carbon atoms completely fluorinated, then and in the next step, the fluorine attack to the carbon atoms in the interior, like this one. And when the fluorine attack to the carbon atom here, the dangling bond having a Drogas magnetic moment is created at the carbon atom adjacent to the carbon atom attacked to the by the fluorine, so that we can have the another localized magnetic moment in this case. So we have two players in the magnetism. Okay, one is the edge state spins of pi electron here around here, and the other one is sigma dangling bond of defect like this one. Then we investigated the electronic structure using the NEXAFS spectrum, the near edge X-ray absorption phi structure of the nanographing sheets in activated carbon fibers HF. And this is a comparison between HOPG and the pristine HUF and the HFP treated at the 1190K. And you can see we have the peak assigned to the pi star conduction bands for the HOPG, which is around 285.5. But in the case of the HF nanographing sheet, we have additional contribution on the film energy, like this one, that is given as the P1. The chemical shift is 284.5. This is assigned to the edge state for the nanographing sheets. And then the fluorinated the nanographing sheet, the HF, from 0 to 1.2 for a fluorine concentration. This is the spectrum, and I like to show the close up around the film energy. This is the film energy region here, and this is a pristine HF. You can see a pi conduction band peak assigned to the Van 4 singularity point here. And in the case of the HF, pristine HF, we have edge state around the film energy, I showed with the red line here. And when we fluorinate the samples, we have another contribution shown with the blue line here that grows when we increase the concentration of fluorine, as shown here. And the important point here is, you see, the maximum contribution appears around the concentration of 0.8. That is a very important point. And I like to summarize the spectrum here. And each this spin of a pi electron has a chemical shift more negative to 84.5 from a pi conduction band, this point. And this is a consequence of a large screening effect. Actually, non-bonding pi state has large local density of state at the carbon site. That's the reason. But the situation is quite different in the sigma dangling bond. We have a less negative chemical shift to 84.9. And the dangling bond, sigma bond states, has less the concentration of the valence electron, so that we have a weak screening effect. So we can distinguish between the two spin species using an exact spectrum. And this is a summary of the following concentration dependence of an exact intensity and local spin of local spin concentration. And this is the fluorination process. We have two fluorine the concentration regimes here. In the first step, fluorine attack the edge carbon atoms, and this process is completed around 0.4 the fluorine concentration here. And after this concentration, fluorine attack to the carbon atoms in the interior. And the important point here is, when we are a concentration of about 0.84 fluorine, in that case, the half of the interior carbon atoms are fluorinated. I mean, we have largest number of local magnetic moment in the interior. And this scenario is reproduced in experiment as shown here. This is the intensity of an exact peak for three contributions here. And this is the total spin concentration, the function of the fluorine, the concentration here from 0 to 1.2. And the pi star conduction band edge state that decreases monotonically like this one, but that above the 0.4, we have the broad hump with the peak position at 0.8 and then decrease like this one. So this is the spin concentration. We have the large peak. This is the spin concentration. This the star, red star, comes from this results. So we have produced the results between the spin concentration and contribution in the exact spectrum. So in this region, edge state spins govern the magnetism. And in a region from 0.4 to 1.2, the sigma dangling spins works importantly in the magnetism. And the important point also here is interaction, exchange interactions. And this is the exchange interaction, the internal effective field as a function of the fluorine concentration from 0 to 1.2. In the region up to 0.4, we have a decrease in the internal exchange field like this one. In this region, the edge state spins governs magnetism. So but in the region above 0.4, we have negligible strength of exchange fraction here. So we can summarize the results as shown here. And HC spins of topological origin interacting with each other through exchange fraction like this one. But the sigma dangling bond, we have no exchange fraction. I mean, sigma dangling bond spins are isolated from each other. So the next topic is the electron wave interference at armature edge. I have two items here. One is a Raman G band of armature edge graphene nanoribbons. And also we have STM super lattice and its fine structure in the vicinity of armature edge. This is what happens in electron scattering process. We have two independent sub lattice points, A and B. So that we have two independent points in Brillouin zone, K and K prime, having the independent Dirac cones, two Dirac cones participate in the scattering process. And the way of scattering depends on the geometry of edges. In a case of the scattering at the zigzag edge, KY is converted to minus KY. This is the process, okay? So the KY goes to K minus KY. So this to this one, or this to this one. This is the intra-variant scattering process. So there's no the interference in the scattering process. But the situation is quite different in the armchair edge. You can see ky is converted to minus kx. Kx is converted to minus kx. This go to this, or this go to this one. So the two Dirac cones participate in a scattering process. This is actually the interference between the two wave functions. So in this case, we have an important contribution of the interference in a scattering process. Okay, and that is the physics aspect. But we can also discuss based on the chemistry using the Krause representation. And in finite size graphene sheets, we have three states having the square root 3 by square root 3 super lattice degenerate action shear. Actually, we have three independent hexagon rings here. Okay. And these are the situation for the armchair edge and the zigzag edge molecules. In this case, we have only one unique state. There are no degeneracy here. So this is the standing wave. That is a consequence of electron wave interference. But in the case of a zigzag edge molecules, we have a large number of the states degenerate. In this case, two angular molecules consisting of three the hexagon rings. In that case, we have four states here, and we have three four symmetry, so that we have a 12 states degenerate, so that there's no standing wave. So the armchair molecule is very unique from point of electron wave interference, also from chemistry aspect. Then they are actually show the experimental results. First one is armchair edge graphene nanoribbons observed by Raman G band. And this is the old results that they published in 2004. And you can see the graphene nanoribbons prepared on the graphite step edge. That is prepared by heat treatment at 1600. Degrees C in argon atmosphere, and the geometry can be the confirmed using FM technique, and the width is 8 nanometer, and the length is over 1 micrometer. From the height profile, this is assigned to a single seat, the nano graphene nanoribbons. And we investigate the G band using a polarized laser beam. And you can see two peaks. G2 is assigned to the graphite substrate, and G1 is assigned to the graphene nanoribbons. And we have large the angular dependence of the laser beam polarization on the theta here. We have this is the intensity of as a function of polarization angle theta. We have the 1, 2, 0 with large angular dependence in intensity. And also interesting point is the frequency. When we increase the laser power density, the G2 band is not affected, but the G1 band is shows a softening like this one. This is a heating process. Actually, the laser beam can heat easily the small nano graphene sheets. So this is a heating process. And then the theoretical analysis. And we have intervariant scattering, kx2 minus kx, like this one. And this process is coupled with the error phonon mode. This is the lattice deformation geometry here. And when the lattice is deformed, the transfer integral gamma 0 is modified. And this is the condition for the modification of transfer integrals for the active phonon modes. And I showed in the beginning, we have a wire regression here, and when there's no the external field of lattice deformation, we have a P, but the P is converted to this one. And this is the gauge field from the laser beam. And we have additional contribution from the deformation of the lattice that is deformation-induced gauge field that is connected to the modification of transfer integrals here. And then we calculated the intensity of z, but that is proportional to the square of cosine theta here. And this is the comparison between theory and experiments. And you can see we have the square of cosine theta dependence in intensity as a function of theta. This is experimental results. We have the almost the same, the angular dependence. From this comparison, the graphene nanoribbons are confirmed to be 100% armchair graphene nanoribbons. Then I'd like to move on to the next item, that is STM superlattice and its fine structure. And this is observation of superlattice near from about the edge region, the armchair edge regions. You can see at the superlattices here, we have two kinds of superlattices. Okay, one is the conventional square root 3 by square root 3, and the other one is a honeycomb lattice here. And the important point here is the local symmetry, and local symmetry. This one, we have a threefold fine structure in each the bright position here. This is a very important indication about that the interference of electron waves. And we have the scattering process and the interference in the scattering at armature edge, so that we have the two Dirac cones participating in the scattering process. Okay, and then we took the two-dimensional mapping of squared amplitude wave function. These functions, and this is the results. And we have the honeycomb lattice. That is just a reproduction of experimental results. This is experimental results. You can see we have the same the honeycomb lattice in the superlattice pattern. And what is important is the anti-phase coupling between adjacent lattice points here. We have a plus and minus phase here. Okay. And then we calculated the current density mapping. Using this simple model, we have a PZ orbital. This is the tip of the STM, and we have the S-type the function here. And then this is the matrix element for the tunneling process from between the tip and the PZ orbital. These are the parameter for the geometry here. And this is the results, and we can see the threefold symmetry each the bright spot here. That is the same to that we observed in the experiments. And the reason why we have the threefold symmetry comes from the anti-phase relation between adjacent the bright spot the superlattice points. Actually, we have anti-bonding coupling between the two adjacent sites. This is the reason why we have the threefold fine structures. So, using an FM technique, we can also discuss the phase of electron wave functions. So, this is the last topic. Okay. Nano fabrications using FM tip, and we observe the creation of a zigzag edged graphene nanoribbons here, and we prepared the graphene oxide using the strong oxidants, and then this is the results, and you can see the single layer, the graphene oxide, and this is the bilayer seed, and the distance between the layer is 0.9 nanometer. This is a very disordered features. This is that we have a random distribution of the oxidized site like this one, okay? And then we, this is the STS spectrum for the graphene sheet, and this is the graphene oxide. From this with this, we can estimate the gap, which is about 2 electron volt. From this value, we can estimate the oxygen concentration. That is 0.2 to 0.25. But the among the samples we prepared, we have quite interesting materials. And this is one typical samples we prepared. You can see quite regular the geometrical structure shown here. And we have the one dimension wrinkles with the width of about the 9 nanometer, okay? And the height difference is at 300 picometer. The from the theory, we can say the oxidation takes place after the formation of one dimensional line of epoxying. This is epoxying here, and the zigzag direction here. So we have the zigzag graphene nanoribbons between here and here. That width is 0.5 nanometer. And this is what is suggested from the theory. And this is the init process. And the oxygen talk to the carbon bonding here. And then we have the first unzipping process here. And then we have local relaxation lattice here. And then the second oxygen can easily be bonded to the adjacent here. And then a third and fourth. After that, we have one dimensional oxidation line along the zigzag direction. And then nanofabrications. And we can use the AFM tip for cutting the graphene sheets. And this is the first and second and third and fourth. And using the AFM tip, we can intentionally fabricate the graphene oxide or graphene nanoribbons using an AFM system. And this is the one example. This is another example. You can see a hole here. And this is what happens. This is the AFM tip, and we have graphene nanoribbons, zigzag graphene nanoribbons here. And this is a theoretical suggestion. Depending on the angle between the graphene nanoribbons, we can have a ferromagnetic states. So when we push the graphene nanoribbon, this one, then the angle becomes changed. And when we have the specific angle, in that case, the spins this sheet and at this sheet are aligned ferromagnetically. So depending on the geometry, we can tune the ferromagnetic structures. Okay. So I think this is the sheet. So the edge is very interesting from point of the basic science and applications. And the edge modifies the electronic structure of graphene in two manners. One is a zigzag edge, and the other one is armature edge. In a zigzag edge, we have a creation of the non-bonding edge states that are the electronic and magnetic and chemical active at the edges. Okay, and the another one is the armature edge. We have electron wave interference. That is also interesting. So these are the interesting the electronic and magnetic properties of edges are very promising the ingredient for the variety of the properties and functions for basic science and applications. And then I'd like to show the contributors here. My group and group in the Brazil and Sasaki and Wakabayashi, Nakanishi and Rijo Saito and the Dresser House and the KK group. So this is the last one, and this is a group photo. Thank you for attention.
It's time for questions.
Next half experiment, you showed the edge state peak slightly displaced with respect to the Fermi level. Is there any explanation for that?
It's very difficult to determine the exact chemical shift. Actually, we observed a part of the edge state, and in a neutral state, we have half field state, half field situation, but we have functional groups around the edge regions. In that case, we can have a slight chemical shift. So depending on how the edges are terminated. We have a slight shift, so that it's very difficult to exactly determine the position of the edge states.
For the STM work on the edges, on the armchair edges, I'm curious, did you see parallel waves? Because you just showed the sort of the triangular symmetry patterns. Did you also see parallel waves coming from the edge in the armchair? Or the zigzag?
It's parallel. But our observation has the coexistence of the two super lattices. The square root 3 by square root 3 and the honeycomb lattices. So we have a mixture of zigzag and armchair edges partly.
Oh, so you're saying it was mixed, so it was kind of hard to see that?
Yeah.
And how do you know there was hydrogen termination of that edge on the graph phi? How did you know it was hydrogen terminated?
That is our speculation. And we employed the same condition for hydrogenation to the hydrogen termination of the silicon, okay? And we compared the results with the tight binding theory. And in tight binding theory, we terminate the hydrogen to the edge carbon atoms. From that comparison, they speculate that all the edge are terminated hydrogen.
Can I ask a question here? Can I ask a question about your at some point you mentioned that you made graphene nano ribbons and you concluded that the termination was armchair. And now lots of people, including us, make nano ribbons by etching techniques like high energy, argon ions, etc. So what would you expect for the nature of the edges of these wires?
I think that there are two different experimental conditions. One is the equilibrium condition. The other one is non-equilibrium condition. Yes. When we prepare the equilibrium condition, in that case, we can have the thermodynamical stable structure. That is armchair edge. But when we use electron beam or high energy particles, in that case, we are far from the thermal equilibrium. In that case, we can have zigzag edges as a majority.
Okay, so it depends on the process.
Yeah.
That's what you say. Thank you. Last question.
I was going to ask a question related to the response and the question. Suppose you anneal the sample at, I don't know, maybe 1,000 degrees, some temperature like that in vacuum. Then can you, some place that you would stabilize and get back to the equilibrium condition? And you can even study that as a function of annealing temperature, how that occurs, and maybe understand the mechanism of annealing. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I think that we can quench the states which is not stable. We prepare the zigzag edge at a temperature or under the irradiation of electron beam. And that can be quenched at room temperature, maybe. That's possible.
I wanted to make a philosophical observation. There are two probes that we mentioned. One is fields, and the other one, they're similar. One is the your potentials. So you change the Fermi level. And the other is the magnetic field. You change the spins. But they're done by external fields, so that you're not really touching the sample. And that seems like a very powerful way to be able to answer a point raised by Harry Croteau earlier on, where he's looking for methods that you could affect large scale. And fields can go centimeters.
Yeah, I think that's important.
So we can get out of the nano. I was thinking that might be a comment to make.
Okay, thank you very much. No more questions, sorry. No more questions. The next speaker, and no more comments. The next speaker is Sankar Dasarma, Electronic Properties of Graphene.